electronic device like mine, or it might be leather bound. Either way, take your Bibles and let's say this together. They're going to put the words up on the screen for us. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we do believe that. And we also have an expectancy today that your word will minister to us, that your word will be like food. It will feed us. It will strengthen us. It will help us where we need help today. And Lord, as we receive your word, we thank you that we also can go out into our world and make a difference. And we pray for that. I pray for that for every individual that calls this your church home, and for us as a church, that we would make a difference in your name. Amen. Well, we are in a series right now, Make a Difference. In fact, if you would just go ahead and put up the mission for Faith Life Church. Faith Life Church, this church exists to build people's faith so they know Jesus, live free, discover their purpose, come on, and make a difference. And in this series, we're just showing you what the Bible has to say when it comes to how you can make a difference. And we also are looking at or wanting to encourage you to become a difference maker. You're called to make a difference in this world. Every follower of Christ is called to make a difference. Come on, how many of you want to make a difference in your world? In your family, at your workplace, in your community? We are difference makers. Now, today I want to minister to you a message entitled Service Before Self. But just before we get into the truths of that message, let me go back and remind you of some foundational truths that we've already learned in this series. So go with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And we could say this, oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference Jesus has made in our lives. In fact, the Apostle Paul expresses it like this. He said, the old life is gone. Aren't you glad? The old person is gone. The guilt, the condemnation, the old is gone and the new has come. It's different. The new is different than the old. And here's what we said. We said if we are going to make a difference in our world, then we're going to have to be the difference. And in being the difference, I'm referring to living in light of the reality of what Christ has done in our life. He has made us brand new. We have a brand new life. We are a brand new person. We are going to have to live the new. And that is going to take us putting faith daily in Jesus, walking with him daily to live the new. And as we walk out the reality of this new person that we become in Christ, we will make a difference. Come on, we got to be the difference. Now, last week we saw that we talked about staying charged up. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power to be my witness. The power of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the ways that we stay charged up. We do believe that the Bible teaches that there is a subsequent experience beyond salvation. We could just put it like this. There's more. There's more. the infilling of the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit of God in every follower of Christ, every believer, has God's Spirit living on the inside of them. But that Spirit can come up upon you, and the Bible calls it the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the initial evidence, the Bible teaches, is the ability to speak in an unknown language. Go back and listen to last week's message so you get that cleared up about what is the purpose of speaking in tongues. But in particular, we said for the personal believer, the ability to speak as the Spirit gives you the ability in an unknown language is to keep you charged up. It's called praying in the Spirit. And we need to make sure that we're prayed up. And it says, when we're prayed up, when we've got that power stirred up, we will be a witness. We don't have to go around with the burden of having to witness. No, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be a witness. Now, today I want to talk about service before self. Some of you may recognize that little phrase. It's actually one of the core values of the United States Air Force. Service before self. And certainly all of our military branches represent that statement well. The people who join the military, they are deciding to live a life of service. But I want us to think about Jesus. We're talking about making a difference. And there is no one in the history of mankind that has made a greater difference in this world than the person of Jesus Christ. Even the calendar that atheists use, the calendar that other people who believe in other gods, the calendar that they use is BC and AD. Before Christ, and then it's the Latin version. I'm not going to say the two words. I might slaughter them, A.D., but it really means at the birth of Christ. So everything is marked in the calendar before the birth of Christ and after the birth of Christ. He made a mark on our earth. He made a mark in mankind. He made a difference. In fact, the difference that Jesus made toward mankind was an eternal difference. And so we can look at his life, and if we will follow the leader, then we will make a difference. But I want to take you this morning to a passage where Jesus gives us his secret sauce. Where he tells us why he was able to make the difference he made. Now, listen, let's just sell it right now. You are not called to make the same kind of difference he made. You couldn't make that kind of difference. But he has called you to make a difference, and he's teaching you what he did because of who he was to make that difference for salvation. But by following his lead, you can make the difference that God has called you to make. Come on, are you ready to make a difference? And here's the wonderful thing. If you have it in your heart to make a difference in this world, you will be so different. Life, all of a sudden, will be so different for you. It will be so much more wonderful. I got to stop. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's go to Mark 10:41 and let's read about Jesus' secret sauce. You ready? Mark 10:41, it says, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, let me just go back and remind you of what happened just previous to Jesus' statement here. James and John, and if you remember, among the disciples, there were three disciples, Peter, James, and John that the Lord would often draw away from the other 12, and he would allow them to go places with him and to pray and to do things. He would call them apart. So James and John already probably feel like they're a little bit better, special than the rest. And what has happened here, what provoked Jesus' statement, was that James and John came to Jesus. And they said, Lord, will you do us a favor? The Lord said, well, ask, what is it? And they said, well, when you come into your kingdom, can each of us sit one hand, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand? Now, that's what provoked this statement from Jesus. He saw that his disciples had a misperception, a misconception of how the kingdom of God operates. Here they were looking for position, thinking that if they had position, they would have power. Because they thought position will give you power. Come on, that's the world's way. If I can get that position, then I'm gonna have some power. And Jesus saw that they had this misconception. Now it says that the other disciples were indignant that James and John would even ask such a thing. And we all know you're laughing because we all know they're just a little bit upset that they didn't think about it first. And they're probably a little worried that James and John already got the seats, got the office with the window, just because they didn't ask. They wanted that position because they wanted that power. And then listen, Jesus. Come on, do we treasure the words of Jesus? Do we believe that what he's telling us is truth? He gives us then his secret sauce for being the world's greatest difference maker. And he said, listen, you're going to have to be different. You're going to have to be different as a leader. And he says, don't use any position of leadership that God gives you. Don't use that to push people down. That means parents, you have a position of leadership in your home. Husband, you have a position of leadership. Maybe you don't see yourself as a leader. As a follower of Christ, you have a position of leadership. Many of us have certain levels of leadership or roles in our work, in our community. But he said, listen, anytime you're giving a leading role, follow my lead. He said, use that position to serve. Don't lord it over people. Be different. Don't act like you're better. Don't think you're better just because you got the promotion and the other person is different. Don't think the title makes you somebody that you're not. Be different as a leader. I like the way the Passion Translation reads Mark 10:43 in this same passage here. It says, you are to lead by a different model if you want to be the greatest one. You are to lead by a different model. If you want to be the greatest one, then live as one called to serve others. Wow. Tony Evans puts it this way. Many of you know Pastor Tony Evans. Says, in God's kingdom, greatness is measured by our heart of service. In God's kingdom, greatness is measured by our heart of service. I have to admit, when I was studying this message, I had to ask myself, I had to be honest and say, how do I measure up? Do I have a heart of service? Do I use my position? And in this case, my position would be pastor. Do I use my position to serve others? Or am I trying to gain something from my position? Because in God's kingdom, God measures greatness by the servant attitude that we have. Now, Jesus, many times in the Bible, asks us to follow him. How many times do you hear Jesus say, follow me? follow me. Depending on what translation of the Bible you're using, it's approximately 22 times that Jesus says, follow me. You know what he's saying to his disciples? Follow my lead. Be a servant. He said, I didn't come to be served. And if anybody deserved to be served, it was Jesus. He said, that's not my attitude. I came to serve, not to be served. We need to follow his lead. And if we follow his lead, we will find ourselves serving others. Now, let me just, hold on just a minute. That doesn't mean you're everybody's servant. You're God's servant. But you're called to serve them. God'll take care of you. But you have this heart for service. The world needs the church to follow his lead. You know, the story is told years ago that one of the Ivy League schools received this application from a young woman, and it usually took quite a while for you to hear back whether or not you were accepted. Well, she got a letter back pretty quickly, and she was surprised, but she cautiously opened it, and the letter went something like this. We want you to come, you're accepted, and please come as soon as possible. They said, the problem is we get so many applicants who want to be a leader, and you said you were happy to follow, and we need some followers. Get here. Listen, maybe when we get into what the world would call a leadership role in our family, in the community, maybe we ought to remember that we are really a follower. First and foremost, we are a follower of Jesus Christ, and we are called to serve. It's an upside-down kingdom compared to the world. And the way the world looks at leadership, God's kingdom, the world would say, is upside down, because in God's kingdom, the lower you go, the greater you become, the more willing you are to serve. And when I'm talking about lower, I'm talking about your heart attitude. I'm not just talking about a position. I'm talking about that you're willing to serve. Let me just give you the definition of the word serve. This is from the Webster's 1848 dictionary. It says serve, to wait on, to attend, to be employed in labor or other business for another. Just the word service. Same thing, Webster's 1828, I said 28, it's 48, says the business of a servant. Come on, the business of a servant is serving. Kingdom business is all about serving people. Sunday service wouldn't happen unless we had a whole lot of people who wanted to serve to make it happen. People who are willing to serve your youth, serve your children, be here early. In fact, right now we could use some people that come early and help with the parking, because we got all this going on. So if you think, hey, I want to serve, there you go, parking, see Pastor Larry. Just the heart of service. It's service before self. It's being mindful of others. It's self-service. It's not self-service. You see, self-service versus real service. Come on, how many know we live in a world that says service yourself? And we all have to be honest this morning, because if you're not, you're probably selfish. Because all of us have a tendency towards self-service. It's just a natural inclination that you want to take care of yourself. We live, and all of you know this, we live in a selfie generation. I've said this before. I don't even want to tell you how many selfies I have on my phone. But the truth is, no more than the rest of you. Come on. So it's just natural. So here's what I'm telling you. If you're going to overcome and you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to look to him, and you're going to have to do this intentionally. This isn't just going to happen. Come on. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to follow the leader if you want to make a difference. If you want to have this attitude, we need to understand that being a servant is greatness in God's kingdom. So then, if being a servant is greatness in God's kingdom? So then here's the question. Do you want to be great? Honestly, there was a time in my life when I would have thought, not sure. Just being honest. Now, I understand more today, but to be a servant, to be great in God's kingdom, God measures greatness by our attitude of servant. Come on, Jesus was the greatest difference maker that this world has ever seen. He's made a difference in every one of you sitting here. He made a difference in every person that has ever been born or ever will be born. The potential is there. How did he do it? What was his secret sauce? He saw himself as a servant. Wow. Listen, it's not easy to overcome self and serve others. Here's my question, though. Do you want an ordinary life or do you want an extraordinary life? The life of service isn't easy, but the life of service is the most rewarding and fulfilling life you can live. I think Jesus is just inviting this church, all of you, he's just inviting us to be more intentional about being a servant. Listen, the road to success, service before self. Now, let me take care of myself and then. Now, understand, let me just say this too, because there is a place where you're broken and bleeding, that you need to get to a certain place, but you shouldn't live that way. So when you first come to Christ, you may need some times, or maybe you go through something traumatic in your life. We may need to set you aside a little bit, and we may need to get you back healthy. But as soon as you have any ability to lead and do something, the best thing you could do is go do that. You're hopeless, then go out and bring hope to somebody else. You're depressed, then go lift somebody else up. Come on, acts of service. The problem is the church is still dealing with their issues. We have ran out of tissues. Now listen, we all have issues. But we ought to get to the place where the issues are not consuming our life. We ought to get to a place of stability and fruitfulness where we'll always be a work in progress. There will always be those little bumps in the road. There will always be those moments where we go, oh, I still haven't got over that. God, are you with me? I mean, sometimes I go, how long, Lord, is it going to take me? But listen, I don't let the enemy, now I used to, but I don't let the enemy cause me to be distracted with that little pimple. When someone else's whole life is going, it's just broken. Their whole life is laid out. And the devil has me going, I can't believe I have this pimple. Need to go see the pimple popper. What? So that show, somebody told me about a show, Miss Pimple Popper or something. I don't know about that show. Anyway, if that's your thing, that's fine. Now listen, I got to keep going. I'm running out of time here. I want to go to another place where Jesus once again has to remind the disciples of the power of service. And he demonstrates it, because if you're a servant, you will act it out. And certainly Jesus acted it out. In fact, the cross was the ultimate act of service. But John chapter 13, I want to read starting with verse 3, and this is at the Last Supper. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Now, this occurs at what is called the Last Supper. This is the final meal that Jesus is going to share with his disciples. These 12 men were really the closest men to Jesus on the face of the earth, some of the closest people to him, and he loved them. And this is the final time that he is going to share a meal with him before he's beaten, crucified, and killed. Before he takes the sin of the world on his shoulder and sacrifices his life for our sins. You can just imagine. Come on, have you ever had something to do at work, or you know you're going to have to deal with something in your family, something was coming up, and as you look forward to that, it's just a little heavy? Yeah. Well, can you imagine what Jesus felt? This is the last time he's going to be with his friends. Now, I don't know about you, but I can just speak for myself. If it was the last time I was going to be with my friends, I'd be wanting some encouragement from them. I'd be wanting something from them. But here's what it says Jesus did, and John was very specific. He said Jesus got up from the table. He took off his robe, grabbed a towel, filled a wash basin, Jesus, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Do you know who was in that crowd at that point? Do you know who was one of the 12? Judas. Judas Iscariot, who was about to go out and hand Jesus over to the authorities so that he would be crucified. And yet Jesus washes his feet. The heart of a servant. Now, there's nothing symbolic about foot washing. Listen, I grew up in a church that did foot washings. Anybody, y'all, that they would do foot washings. And the ladies would be on one. I mean, I remember I was real little, and then my parents stopped going to church for a while, which was a mistake, because then I got into trouble. But when I was real little, they would do these foot washings, and eventually they stopped them. But the ladies would be on one side, the men would be on the other side. Listen, I've been to a foot washing. Ain't nothing holy about it. Now, but what they were doing is they were recognizing the symbolism of it. And it was symbolic. And it was symbolic because in those days, you know, they lived out in the desert, and they didn't have roads. They didn't have paved roads. They didn't have transportation. So they walked everywhere they went. They wore sandals. And as they would walk on these dusty roads, their feet would get so dirty. And so it was a common practice in those days that when you came into someone's home, that either they would have a basin there for you to wash your own feet, because, you know, being out there, be so dirty. Or if they were a little bit well off, a little bit more fortunate, then they would have a servant that would wash your feet. And now listen, the servant that would wash your feet was always the lowest servant in the house. They gave that job to the new guy, to the gal that was just starting. Little responsibility. You wash everybody's feet. Now Jesus symbolically is washing, come on, Jesus, are you getting this? Not somebody named Joe or John, but the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, God, grabbed a towel, filled a water basin, and washed the disciples' feet. He was leading by example. Now, he didn't do that so one day Pastor Jane would have a message to preach. He did that because that was what was in his heart to do. And because he was about to leave this world, and he wanted to make sure that his disciples, he was going to leave them in charge of all of us. And he wanted to make sure that they knew how to lead, and that they could follow his lead, and that in the kingdom of God, the reason that God gives us authority or position is so that we can serve other people. Now, here's the question, though. Question I have to ask myself. Why am I afraid to pick up the towel? Picking up the towel hasn't always been easy for me. In fact, it's been quite challenging. It's not because I was a haughty person, although it could be perceived that way. But I was afraid of going low. I was afraid of going low because I thought then that would only prove what the devil was telling me is that I was already low. I already didn't have any value. So therefore, I needed position to prove to me, not to you. I needed position to prove to me that I was worth something. I couldn't go low. I couldn't pick up the towel. It hasn't been always easy for me to pick up the towel because I came from a place of brokenness, didn't we all? Maybe some more than others, but haven't we all been broken? And now Jesus is asking us to serve. Do you know? Here's the mindset. If I serve, they're going to walk all over me. If I serve, what does that say about me? Wow. But then all of a sudden, I just think about if I would have been in that room. Jesus would have washed my feet. And I know who he is. So now I can wash people's feet because I know who I am in him. I want to follow his lead. Really, we have to overcome selfishness. But what's that selfishness rooted in? I don't know what your selfishness may be rooted in as far as something particular. Something that happened in your life or just something that was told to you or something the enemy has just magnified. But I do know this, almost all selfishness is rooted in fear. Yes. I got to overcome that fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. But here's what I've also learned is that when I begin to understand that God loves me, I'm never going to be totally, absolutely free from all fear as long as I'm in this world. But I can still be fearless. I can do it afraid. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've just went ahead and served even though I was afraid that people then would think I was less than because I did that. But I did it afraid because I believed that I was loved. I believed God loved me and I wanted to follow his lead. Listen, we're talking about acts of service. That means you got to go ahead and do it. In fact, Jesus said this. Jesus said this in Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to be able to get to my one picture, Ethan. I'm not going to have time to do that. But let me say this. Jesus said in Philippians 3, he said, don't be selfish. Listen to Philippians 2, starting with verse 3. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Oh, that we would get to the place that we would be so free that we wouldn't cling to the positions that we have. Said he didn't cling to it. Verse 7, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You know, I just want you to hear this morning, church. Jesus is just saying to us, don't be selfish. And if he's telling us not to be selfish, that means we can make some choices, some healthy choices to begin to go down this road of servanthood. And then he tells us how. He says, let the same attitude or the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. Let that mind be in you. That word mind there, it's a Greek word, of course. This is the New Testament. And that word mind, it means to exercise the mind or entertain. What have you been entertaining in your mind? Listen, you're going to have to exercise your mind to think of others. Because naturally, I'm on my mind. Just being honest, folks, I'm on my mind. When I wake up in the morning, I'm on my mind. And so I've got to exercise my mind. I've got to be like Jesus. I've got to be determined that I'm not going to be selfish, that with the help of Christ, I'm going to let his attitude be my attitude, and I'm going to exercise my mind. It says to be mentally disposed, to interest oneself with, or be concerned, to set the affection, to regard, to think. Listen, how do we overcome selfishness? We got to follow his lead. We got to have his same attitude. We got to humble ourselves. We got to think, how low can I go? And I'm not talking about lowering your self-esteem. I'm talking about lowering yourself in your thoughts, that you're not constantly on your mind. That song, I know there's a, I can't think of it right now, but you know what? You Were on My Mind, that old song. Well, really, we could sing it, I'm on my mind. I'm on my mind all the time. I'm on my mind. Well, I got to overcome it. Here's my question. Is serving even on your radar? Is serving others when you get up in the morning, when you head out, is it even on your radar? We all seen those movies. I was watching a movie the other day, you know, Russian sub is coming and there's the American sub. They're watching these radars. All of a sudden they see the little blimp. They're there. Well, is it even on your radar? Serving others, how can you serve? He was God. He didn't cling to his position, but was able to give it up, the privileges that came with that position, and serve others. Listen, anytime we're thoughtful and give out of what we have to serve others, it will make a difference. But I want to tell you, you won't do it unless you start thinking of it, unless you have that attitude. Now, here's the last thing. Not only do you have to think about it, then you're going to have to go ahead and act out. I was told when I was little, stop acting out. But I'm telling you in church today, act out. Go ahead and act in acts of service and make a difference in your world. Make a difference. Listen, I am not the only person here at Faith Life Church that is called to make a difference. And I'm not the only one making a difference. We need everyone making a difference everywhere you go. But here's what Jesus said. I got to close with this. John 13:16, and this is the end of this passage. After he's washed their feet and he sits down, and this is the passage translation, and Jesus says this, I speak to you timeless truth. A servant is not superior to his master, and an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. So now put into practice what I have done for you. And you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings. You know, God's got some blessings for you. But you haven't been able to tell people about what God did in your life yet. And you haven't been able to tell them yet because you haven't followed his lead. Now, the blessings we've had in the past is because we followed his lead. Come on, we need to continue to live like a servant. And he said, practice. Come on, practice. If you ever had kids, you took them to practice. They didn't just show up on the ball field. They practiced. Come on, the church needs to practice acts of service. That means go out and do it. What are you waiting on? I'm afraid. Do it afraid. Yeah. How many of you want to live an extraordinary life? I believe God is talking to Faith Life Church this morning. And I believe he's asking us to follow his lead. I think he's telling us that if we go ahead and perform acts of service, we'll overcome our fears. We'll overcome our fears, and then those blessings that he had in store for us that were untold, now we'll be able to tell people about them. Now they'll see them in our life. Our lives will be so much richer because we chose to serve. I'd say it this way. We can do it afraid and be blessed. I'd rather be blessed than just afraid. I'll just close with this statement. Let's follow the lead of Christ. And if we follow his lead, we will make a difference. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? I pray that you did. Now listen, here's your homework assignment. Go do something.